Thank you.
He went to the dentist today, so they shot him with Novocaine. So if while he's talking, he goes, it just is, it's not his mother tongue. It is the dentist. So, all right. Hey, brother. Please.
Thank you.
Deliver a great word for us today.
Thank you.
I love you.
I praise God because he's going to use numb lips to speak his word. I glorify his name for this, for his great and his wonderful. I thank God because of the leadership of the church, especially the senior pastors, for allowing me to stand and speak to the church today. I've got a very long list of thanksgiving for different things which have taken place in my life. But I think if I'm going to spend much time on thanksgiving, then the whole time is just going to be thanksgiving, 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 thanksgiving. But I think I'll ask the senior pastor if he might give me 5 minutes on the last Sunday to give my appreciations to many people who have impacted greatly upon my life, because I believe that it's the church who has made me be able to be out of my home for such a long time. Otherwise, if the church was not so sweet, it would have been very hard for me to be out of my home for 2 months and a half. So I really praise God for all of you people who have really impacted my life, and you have made it my life to feel at home, even though I'm out of my home. God bless you. It's very wonderful, and you are great people of God. Amen. When I was praying and asking the Lord, what should I share? There were just a lot of things coming upon my life, which I felt as if I should just share with the church. Just because of that, what I'm going to speak, I don't call it a sermon as such, because maybe it does not qualify to be a sermon, but I think it will just be words of encouragement to the church. I might be taking a lot of topics, but speaking briefly on each topic. Maybe each point can mean a very big sermon, but I'll make it very short and very brief, only to speak the main things which I feel God has put upon my life to share with you. The theme, or the topic, or the headline is be touched by what touches God. Be touched by what touches God. This topic, of course, came as I was trying to run away from the mission statement of the church, because the mission statement of the church is, I think, that is that making devoted Christians. And when I looked over in dictionary, there were several ways in line with the word devotion or devoted. One of them was being passionate, the other one was being zealous, the other one was giving yourself wholly. So all those ways were ways speaking about devotion. So I was trying to run away from that word, because I think if I was going to talk about devotion, I was thinking that as if I'm just getting in the shoes of the senior pastor. But I just want to run away from that, and I've termed the title of the message being touched by what touches God. I strongly believe that if we want to be effective and please God with our lives, it's unless we discover what pleases God most. What is upon the heart of God as he sees the church, as he sees the people, as he sees the world. I strongly believe that God is passionate for several things on earth. And there is need of the church, we as the body of Christ, to be passionate with what God is passionate about. Yes. That will make God pleased. Yes. That will please God. And that will make God to bless us mightily upon our lives. So I'm going to speak about five things briefly, which I feel are some of the things that God is passionate about. It's not all of them, but I feel as for this time, I'm just going to share with you those five things. The first thing which I want to share is being united, unity of the body of Christ. I strongly believe that God is very much passionate, and it pleases him when he sees that his body is one. Amen. When he sees that the church is one. Yes. When he sees that everyone who is in that church or the body of Christ at large is one. I've seen many times whereby people come to church. They come to church every Sunday, but deep down they are not really united to the church. But I strongly believe that God is really moved, is really passionate when he sees us as the body of Christ united, united in faith, united in purpose, united in vision, united in mission statement. The church has got a very good mission statement through the leadership, but we are supposed all to be united to that mission statement, to that vision, to that goal. Because I strongly believe that that is all what God expects us to do as a church through that vision which the leadership has. In Genesis chapter 11, we know the story. Genesis chapter 11, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, "Look," he said, "the people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse the people with different languages, then they won't be able to understand each other." That is the negative part of unity. God came down to confuse. But I strongly believe that when the church is one, God comes down and bless. Every time when the believers come together in unity, God is in their midst to bless them. And nothing comes to be impossible with a group of believers who are able to unite together in purpose, in spirit, in language, in motive, in everything of the activities. God always blesses people who are united. In Acts chapter 4, there is this word again, verse 42, we see the apostles, the Bible says all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. I was still more interested in that first part whereby the believers were all one. And we see how the first church, God blessed them. Yes. God used them. Right. Mighty things happened. One of the big secrets was they were all one. Amen. They were united in heart. Yes. Unity sometimes, we can say sometimes by mouth, but I strongly believe that unity is not by mouth, but it's by cooperation and it's out of works. I strongly believe that the leadership is set by God. The leadership is set by God, and if God communicates vision of the church through the leadership. And anyone who who supports the vision of the church, who supports the leadership, is really in unity with the leadership. God never blesses rebels. God will never bless rebels. Even rebelling against Saul, who was rejected by God. When there is leadership, and God speaks through leadership, and God reveals what should take place in the church or in the community through leadership, God will never bless someone who is against that vision or that leadership. The only thing we can do is support through prayers, support through encouragement, support through whatsoever we can do. I just want to encourage you, people of God, let us just support the leadership, support the vision of the church, and support whatsoever is happening in the church. Be part of whatsoever is happening in the church. Amen. Sometimes we just come to church and witness and participate and expectate, just seeing the things, how they look and what people are doing, and you feel yourself out of place. You just observe what people are doing, how they are singing. You feel not at home. I want to encourage you, people of God, be part of the church in whatsoever is happening. The second point on the same issue is we should be able, everyone of us should be able to build the church, build the body of Christ one way or the other. Build the body of Christ in one way or the other. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, the Bible says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Amen. I strongly believe that everyone who is a believer is supposed to encourage, to lift up another believer. Amen. Because we are the body of Christ. We all rely upon one another. We all depend upon one another. For me to grow, I need you. For you to grow, you need another one. For each one of us to grow, there is a need of someone to take a role in another person's life. You have a certain word which you can speak to another brother to get encouraged. You have got a certain role to play in another one to get encouraged. I praise God very much when I see believers speaking words of encouragement to one another. Amen. Building up one another. Amen. That pleases God. Yes. That blesses God. Because He doesn't want us to remain babies always. He wants us to grow. And there is someone whom we are sitting with. You need to listen from him for you to grow. I praise God for the church, which has got a very good material for spiritual development. And I also encourage, if there are some people who are not up to now taking the classes of the church, I think you are missing a lot. Because the church has got a very good material whereby you can easily grow and you can grow healthy. That is why we need at least to be involved in making someone grow up. Just be an encourager. It doesn't need for you to know many verses or the like. Just speak words of encouragement to one another as the body of Christ. Because we are the body. Each one of us, the Bible says, is a part of that body. And I need to benefit from someone. He needs to benefit from me. That is what I believe, that God is always passionate of that. We are supposed to build, not to destroy one another. The third point is this. I'm rushing because I want to at least to maintain time. I've got a very big problem. He knows I've got a very big problem with time. So so the Lord will help me. He told me that I should speak for 25 minutes. I don't know whether I'm going to make it. The third thing is this. Be a blessing. Amen. By being a blessing, I I want to talk about the world outside. We edify one another through teaching, encouraging one another and one with the other. But it may be that God is also passionate. He's concerned with what is happening outside our church or our Christianity or our Christian circles. Right. In James chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for the orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. That verse really challenges me most of the times. You know, most of the times we think that only being in the church, praying a lot, praying for the people, preaching and all these things is enough. But according to the word of God, God is concerned with those who are not able to help themselves. God is concerned with the widows. God is concerned with the orphans. God is concerned with the aged people who cannot help themselves. God is really concerned with that. That is pure religion before him. We can do all things we can do all things. That is very important. But also, God is concerned with the people who are not able to help themselves. It's not only rich people who can give. It's not only Americans who can give. I strongly believe that everyone has got something which he can help with someone who is a widow. Everyone has got something he can give to another person, at least to make his life or her life better. Amen. You know, the other. So the greatest thing which we need to have in mind is that we are blessed always to be a blessing to another person. I'm blessed with certain things which you don't have. You are blessed with certain things which I don't have. Even though I can come from Malawi, considered to be the poorest country, but I strongly believe that I've got certain things which you don't have. And if I withhold those things which you don't have, I'm going to be accountable before my God one time. In the same way, you have certain things which I don't have, maybe another person doesn't have in one way or the other. We are blessed to be a blessing. Whatsoever God has given us is to share, not to hoard. The blessed person, according to the word of God, is not the one who has got a lot of things, but is the one who shares a lot out of his things. The level of your prosperity, of my prosperity, does not depend upon how much I have, but what percentage of what I have I share. And I give. There, that is why, as believers, we should know that God is really concerned by the people who are lacking, by the people who cannot help themselves. As I've already said, this message is not for Americans only. It's also for Africans. It's also for everyone who is a living being. Because there's got something which has, the other one doesn't have. If we can see what the Bible says, Jesus Christ said a lot concerning this. He spoke concerning the Good Samaritan, whereby religious people like us, a priest like me, just passed by. The one who was bleeding there just passed by and thought I'm very much religious and had some questions on him. Why is he there? Maybe he's drunk, maybe he's a sinner, maybe he doesn't have faith, maybe all types of things, accusing that person lying there. But Jesus said the neighbor was the Good Samaritan who had to leave all his appointments and take care of this one who was wounded. We have got very many wounded people in the world. Very many people who are really pressed down by the difficulties of life and the circumstances of the world which we are facing, we are living in. We are the solution for those people. Amen. We are the solution of those people who are in need. Sometimes it's not a thing we can do a lot, but sometimes we can just put a smile on someone's faith. Someone is bleeding. We can put a smile on someone's face.
Amen.
A very simple thing. Sometimes $10 to you might not seem to be anything. Sometimes giving a pig like that one might seem to be useless. But it makes someone smile.
Amen.
Because he couldn't have money to buy a pig on his own. That is why we should not underestimate anything we give. Whatsoever we give, no matter how small it can be, as long as it puts a smile on someone's face, you have a reward for that. And God blesses not the one who receives, but the one who gives.
Amen.
I strongly believe God is compassionate for those people. We should be touched by people who are in need. The fourth thing is this, and on the same point, I should say that we should not spend all for the temple.
Amen.
Because life is permanent. When we eat, we dress, we do all sorts of things with our houses, with our whatsoever we need, we should know that all that is temporal. All that is temporal. I'm smart. Whatsoever we spend our money on for ourselves is temporal.
Right. Right.
As long as we take something and help someone, that makes our money to be permanent.
That's good.
We can have a lot of things, but if we don't help someone in need, we are spending our money on temporal things.
That's good. Wow.
But life is not temporal. Life is permanent.
Right.
Because we are in the image of God.
Amen.
And the spirit is in us does not die. After this body wears away, we still live on. And our money, our possessions, can help us in another life if we invest in other people's lives.
Yes.
The first thing is this. I feel as if I can just spend a lot of time here.
Good word. You
know the story of Matthew chapter 25. The story of the sheep and the goat.
Yeah.
You know that story very well. The Bible says that Jesus Christ will say, "Where, as you are not doing," he says, "I came to you, I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was sick, you did not take care of me. I had no clothes, you did not clothe me. I was in the hospital, you did not come and visit me. Because of this, depart from me." That is very strong. The judgment on this level was not whether you were drinking or not, whether you were telling lies or not. It is not in that level, but it's on the line that I came to you in need, but you did not help me. When we hear stories of maybe South America, whether it's Asia, whether it's all these places which have great needs and the like. If we hear them, we should know that Jesus Christ is saying that I need you to take part. Don't just close your hands. Not just close your eyes. Take part.
Amen.
I'm not fundraising for Malawi, no. Because I know there are many nations which have great needs. Malawi is one of them. But whatsoever you hear stories of other countries in greatness, don't close your eyes, don't close your ears. Take part.
Amen.
That is Jesus Christ coming to you that here I am. I'm in need. Help me. Let me go to the other section. The fourth part is this. I believe God is very much concerned with the lost souls. Yes. You know, it took Jesus Christ's life to come here on earth and die for us. And after dying, by God's grace, you and me, we are here now testifying of his goodness, of his salvation, of his mercy, of his blessings. But Jesus Christ is entrusted the work of winning souls to his church. Every believer, everyone who has a testimony of salvation upon his life, is called to have passion for the lost souls. The Bible says, God is not happy with the death of a sinner.
Right.
He's not happy. He's concerned every minute when he sees people in sin. He is concerned, and he is deeply concerned. And God's concern should be our concern also. We should not just laugh or put some games or some funny talks on the people who are still living in sin. It really affects the heart of God when people live in sin. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, the Bible says that in the same way there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. That means when a sinner repents, you make heaven to rejoice. In other words, we can say you make, if there are parties in heaven, then you make heaven to have a party. When one man is saved. How compassionate are we towards the sinners? How does it affect us when we see our world in sin? Sometimes I know there are some people who just sit and say, yeah, you know, we are in the last days. So people are living in sin, and this is going to continue. We cannot do anything about it. You know, America is expecting judgment. So things are going to be getting worse, and we cannot do anything about it. I don't believe that.
Amen.
We can do something about
Amen.
It. The Bible says that we are the salt of the world. It's only when we lose our seasoning,
right.
Then the earth can remain the same. But if you can maintain to have that seasoning, that power, that effect upon our lives, I strongly believe through you and me, some people are going to be in heaven.
Amen.
We are not called just to populate earth, but we are called to populate heaven. You know, we can just have children, populating earth. We are not so required for that only, but especially to populate heaven.
Amen. Good.
When we leave the earth, what joy are we going to have if we discover that we really did nothing, or we did not do much on the part of evangelization of souls? If God cries, God weeps when he sees sinners, why should we rejoice and be at peace and let people die in sin? I don't mean that we can save all people, because salvation is not for us to give, but it's for us to offer.
Good.
We cannot save people. We don't have that power. But we can offer salvation.
Amen.
To people who are not saved yet.
Right.
The Bible says, how can they believe if there is no one who can preach to, who can preach to them? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
So it's our responsibility as a church, as the body of Christ, to be involved and to be compassionate with the people who are lost. Sometimes it will take prayers, because sometimes it's not. Sometimes we can say we are too busy, we cannot manage all these excuses. But sometimes you just take time of praying for the people who are lost. Sometimes praying for the people who are busy evangelizing. Just praying for them. Lord, help that one who is busy working for you. Help that one who is busy working for you. As you pray for that, you are part of the evangelism team. You don't know the other. Being a missionary does not mean leaving LFF, all of you, and go to Africa. It doesn't mean that. It does not always mean that. Really, you can be a missionary and leave America and go somewhere. That is God. But I strongly believe that you can be a missionary while at home.
Amen.
By supporting already the people who are working in those countries. For example, if you see that there is a church busy evangelizing, many people are coming to the Lord, but sometimes the converts cannot have enough money to buy a Bible. Because the cost of the Bible is the cost of their monthly wage. And if you are in the house and no such type of people, help them with Bibles. You have equally evangelized together with those people who are evangelizing right there. So you can be part of the evangelism team while we are at home in one or the other. We should be passionate for souls.
Amen. Yes.
So that people can come to the Lord in one or the other. The fifth thing is make heaven rejoice. Make heaven rejoice, and that should be the basis of our joy also.
Amen.
Don't rejoice because our real joy should come because people have come to the Lord.
Amen.
The fifth and the final thing is this. I think I'm trying to manage time.
Good.
The fifth and final thing is, God is passionate with our worship.
Amen.
The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 23, but the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him in that way. That is the Living Translation. God is pleased. God is happy when we worship him. When we spend time with him. I don't know whether we can have a good relationship with our wives or with our husbands or with our families if we just spend 1 minute per day for 10 years. I don't think we can have good relationship. Healthy relationship. We need to spend much time with our families to have good relationships and develop our relationships. I strongly believe that that is the will of God again, that we should have that time of worshiping him. Just setting apart time to worship him. One person asked me that, I think you are praying a lot. I said, no, I don't pray a lot. There is no anyone who can say I'm praying a lot. I don't think so. Because no matter how long time we can spend before the Lord, still more is not enough. No matter we can spend hours in prayer, still more is not enough. Because all of the time is God's time. Amen. And the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Therefore, no one can be proud that I'm praying enough. No. We are busy with a lot of things. We are connected in different ways. But the Bible says, still more we can redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Always we try to redeem time because really time is very... we have got a lot of things to do with fixed time, which we have, 24 hours a day. But still more, we are supposed to redeem the time. Spend time with the Lord. That pleases Him. It's not just a matter of asking, but just sometimes just being before Him, worshiping Him, telling Him how great He is, telling Him how good He is. That means a lot to God. We shouldn't be too busy. Too busy that we cannot be before the Lord. We shouldn't do that. Always redeem the time one or the other. Sometimes even the passion which we can have makes us to be able to redeem the time. The passion, the love, the care, the zeal which we can have for God and for His people and for His world, that can help us to redeem the time always. Because we always spend much time on the things we value most. And when we don't spend time before God, it seems as if we don't value Him anymore. That is why, as a Christian, God is very concerned, is compassionate. It touches Him when His people come before Him and worship Him. There are a lot of things we can pray for. The world, we should pray for the world, the sinners who are just living in sin up to now. As I said before, that we can't just go and preach, because the owner of the harvest is God Himself. You know, some people are very busy preaching, and they don't spend time with God, with the owner of the harvest. That will never work. Unless we spend time with the owner of the harvest, then we can be effective in the harvest. That is why, as believers, I strongly believe God is compassionate with how much time, or how much are we yielded, how much are we willing to spend time with Him in prayer, in worship. That really touches God. Redeem the time. Amen. Redeem the time since the days we are living in are evil. At this time, I think I've spent the 25 minutes which I was given. Good time. God bless you.